You guys, I am not going to prolong an introduction other than to say Walk in the Light International has been teaming up with lots and lots of people all around the world to love on Burkina Faso, and we've been able to be a part of that. We talked a little while ago, and Josh shared that we gave money towards, and we're part of that team to build Caleb's dream up, but who you're about to meet has been able to see and do in the gospel and deliverance and in education and in just coming alongside of a lot of people, been able to do what we couldn't do on our own, but it takes a team. So would you give Katie Cornell a hand as she comes up and shares with us? God bless you. Thank you.
Oh my goodness, that was a great introduction. I'm so excited to tell you today. I don't know how much has been shared, so I'm just going to pretend like you guys know nothing, but the health center is open and operating, and I'm just so excited to be able to just tell you that good news, and I have a couple photos that will come up to be able to show you, but I want to introduce you. I'm hoping that maybe give me a thumbs up if we're good, but there's a photo of a baby that I want to introduce you to. This right here is Caleb. Yeah. They actually named the first baby born in the health center Caleb after Caleb from Caleb's Dream. Yes. Isn't that amazing? Okay, Caleb. Yeah, it's so cool. And we didn't even tell them to do that. I got the email and I was like, what? So they just like together as a community named him Caleb. And I just thought that was so special. And so that is the first baby born in the Vital Health Center that Caleb's Dream built. And I'm just so excited to be able to introduce you to him. Me and Rachel got to go to the health center in July, August. It was August we were there. And at that point, there was one nurse that had started working there in about May, and she had seen like over 200 patients every month by herself. And then when we were here, we did a sponsorship day, and you guys sponsored like 30 kids, which was amazing. So when I was there, I got to tell them, oh my gosh, we're hiring a whole team now. And now there's four nurses that work there, including a midwife. And that's the midwife who's sitting there in the pink little garbs. And I think there's a photo of the team of like nurses there that you can see. That's amazing. But Sandra is the head nurse. She's amazing. And we got to just minister to her. And we sat with her for a while, and she shared with us all of these stories of people being saved. There's the team there. So the one down on the ground is Sandra. And she was there by herself for a couple months until we got the whole team hired. And now she's so happy because she gets to like have days off and go to church. And because she was there 24/7, literally for months, in case somebody that was sick came and she wasn't there. And though she carried that like so seriously, and we just like she was just weeping before me, and she was just like, I don't want anyone to come here unless they need care. And we were just like, oh my goodness, like I never even thought about the weight that was on nurses around the world. And we were so happy to hire a team for her. But she would tell us and show us all these stories. There's like no internet there, of course, doesn't even make sense. But so she had a hard time like WhatsApp apping all the stories. But we sat there and listened to her as she shared about people that would come. And that she would be able to tell them about Jesus. And she would lead them to Christ. And she was just, she was an evangelist like I'd never seen. She would just be like, yes, I'm going to help you with your high blood pressure. But did you know Jesus? He loves you. And she was weeping, telling us these stories of people getting saved at the health center by coming for healthcare, Muslims and animists and people that just worship the earth, the witchcraft, the trees. And she would just lead them to Jesus by caring for them and binding up their wounds. She would just tell them all about their Savior. And she had had over, I think, 11 salvations at that point. I can't remember exactly, but just over like about a dozen people that she had led to Christ. And I just was like so touched and ministered by her. It was amazing. Really, really enjoyed Sandra. Now, we've had her for, you can pray for her, but she asked for prayer. We got to pray with her ourselves there. And then now the team is there, and they're servicing hundreds and hundreds of people every month. They're coming. Babies are being born. People are being, healed through medical care and supernaturally. My favorite story was, this is what's so amazing about just the Holy Spirit, but we had this woman who came. This was before we had the midwife there. And she was pregnant, and there's like what they call silent killers. You know, without the technology they have, you really can't see a lot of times what's happening. But this nurse, she just knew. She knew medically, but also I just believe the Holy Spirit lives inside of her. And she just was like, she said to the lady, like, felt fine, but all of her vitals were like, she was like, you have to go home, tell your husband right now that he has to take you to the hospital in Leo, which is like an hour away. She's like, I'm telling you, you have to go to the hospital right now. And so she went home, told her husband, and literally on the road to the health center, the hospital that was had like everything that she needed for surgery. By the time they got to the hospital, she was unconscious, but she got there just in time for them to save her and the baby. And the whole health center, like when we were there, the elders of the community greeted us and they said, this woman right here saved so-and-so's life, and they're telling us, and she's like, we don't know how she knew this. We don't know how she knew, and they're like, she's like the best nurse ever, and I'm just like, thank you, Jesus. She is, but I just know, like, there's wisdom from the Lord that is working in her to be able to say, like, I don't even have the tools. I can't do the surgery, but you've got to go, and they're like, we trust her. She's amazing, and just hear the testimonies of what was going on there and the trust that's being built with the health center and the community and the people that are being saved. I'm just so thankful for everything you guys have done for this community. As we work in community development and to be able to preach the gospel to community, trust is everything. And so the relationships that have been built through this health center are what is encouraging people to send their kids to school for us to disciple them. It's encouraging just the whole community to come around together. And we got to see the chief again, who's very close to passing. He's pretty old. But he said, he's like, I couldn't pass away before the health center was finished. I mean, he was like, I waited my whole life to see healthcare come to my community. And he's a Muslim, and we preached Jesus to him again and prayed with him. And I really believe in my spirit he saved. When we were there on the last trip, not this one, but we preached the whole gospel to him. And we told him, we said, you know, all you got to do is go in your private place and call on the name of Jesus. But we knew publicly for him to renounce Allah in front of his disciples was very unlikely. But when I'm there, it's like you can feel the spirit inside of him. I know that he knows Jesus. And he's one of the kindest people. And so a lot of times they can't publicly come out and just say, Jesus Christ is my Savior, and I renounce all of it. We always tell them how to do it. We're like, just go into your room and just say, Jesus, you died for me. And so we're just seeing so many people saved and so many people coming to know Jesus. And these are your brothers and sisters in Christ, and so we're so thankful. And I want to be able to invite you to the meeting this afternoon, if you can come. If you want to come with us this June, we're going to be taking a trip and going to Vital, and we're going to be doing probably a youth camp or kids camp, something like that, that you guys can be a part of, leading so many kids to Jesus and seeing the work that's been done there. But I just want to invite you guys, if you want to come and see. Otherwise, people that come from your church will be able to come back and tell you. But you guys have made an eternal impact in the world, and I'm just so thankful for each and every one of you who participated in that. So bless you, and yeah. I would love to pray. Yes. Jesus, we thank you so much for your life. We thank you that you came to this earth and you lived and you died on the cross for us so that you could live in us, so that we could be empowered by you to bring the gospel to the ends of the earth. And we just thank you that when we bring clean water and food to people and we pray for people, that we are being you to the world. Through these shoe boxes and through everything else, we just thank you as that your love is going around the world through this church. And I just bless this church and just ask that you continue to fill it with your Holy Spirit, with the love of yourself, that we would become a light and salt to the earth. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.
God bless you. Thank you so much. Rachel, thanks so much for coming as well. Will you give her a hand? All this. Thank you, Lord. Wow, so exciting. You guys, yesterday was really, really wonderful. We had a lot of people from our community, a lot of people from our church being a part of putting this together. We got a chance to hear a few testimonies that are online that you can find that literally just the boxes and the gift portion of it is so overwhelmingly new and encouraging to children that have, some of them have never gotten a gift before. And that sounds so cliche, but it's very, very real. But one young man in particular grew up in Rwanda, and he got out with his life, and so did his mom and dad and siblings, but aunts and uncles and grandparents and cousins, a number of them were murdered. And they finally ended up in Togo, and he was very, very angry. His parents were pastors, and they knew Jesus. He heard the gospel. He read the Bible. He heard all the time that Jesus loved him. But he hated people. Just hated them. And literally one day in their village, and this isn't even their home country or their home village, they got Operation Christmas Child shoeboxes. And he got one, and he was pretty excited about it, and there were some cool things in there, but there was a note. It was just a sticky note. And it said, God loves you, Jesus loves you, and I love you. And he said, that melted me. He didn't change overnight, but that was the beginning of the end of him hating people. He knew that Jesus loved him. He knew that the Lord loved him. He knew that the Father loved him. He didn't know that people did. And you guys, the good news comes in this box. Churches are started from these boxes. Communities are transformed because of these boxes. And God doesn't need a box. He uses the sunshine. He uses wind. He uses people. He uses a little boy that's like, hey, can we just build a hospital? Yeah, that's no big deal. Let's get after it. And yet God's like, yeah, I'm on that. He doesn't need us, but friends, he wants us. I'm going to encourage you to continue to give and to give generously and faithfully to your church and to communities and ministries all over the place. We're talking about do not be afraid. And last week, I got some really good feedback that we need some practical steps of how to not be afraid. Well, I meet with a group of people on Mondays because I don't think that my voice is the only voice that you guys should hear. It's Pastor John, Pastor Josh, and our friend Amy Aldworth. And they were talking about the fact that we need to acknowledge that fear exists. And we do. I didn't try to say that. I tried to say last week that we should swap our fear, right? Does anybody remember what we should swap our fear? How we should swap our fear? Is there any thing you took away from last week that would remind you what to swap and how to swap? All right, some notes. Yes, Sarah. Swap fear of man to fear of the Lord. And should we be terrified of God? Is he out to absolutely whack us? I mean, come on, you guys. How much did he love you? I mean, he gave his son. This is the good news. Whether you're a Muslim chief or you're you started going to church when you were in your mama's womb. Jesus is our Lord. He is our Savior. You will bow one day, but today we can bow. Ahead of time we can bow. Whoever it is, this is good news. And so to swap our fear isn't to say there isn't one, it's to say there's a bigger one, right? But what are you facing today that's fearful? What are you facing today that's got you overwhelmed? I could say, is it bigger than Jesus? Of course it's not, but it's real to you. There's a beauty in knowing that he's alongside of you. There's a beauty in knowing that if you're his people, he lives inside of you. And it's an especially beautiful reality when things are bad. Pastor John was reminding me to remind you, I'm not just here to tell you don't be afraid. I'm here to tell you why you don't need to be afraid. God sees you. He loves you. He's provided for you. He has his good kingdom for you. One of the greatest fears we have is that we're not going to have enough. You ever watched kids get a snack or a cookie or candy? Man, forget kids. Have you ever done this? Right? Have you ever had it in front of you and wondered, is that it? Have you ever eaten like this before? Nobody can get after that. This is one of our biggest fears, all jokes aside, that we don't have enough. I want to take you straight to Jesus coming after this fear and trying to assuage us to take our eyes off of being afraid of not having enough to knowing that he's got us and that he loves us and that he knows what we need before we could ever ask him. He calls us to ask, but he says, do not be afraid. Now, you're going to see in this passage in Luke 12, and please join me there if you will. We'll go Luke 12 and 20 all the way down to the end of it in 34. But here's what's happening. He says, don't be anxious. Do you know that anxiety is off the charts now? But it's apparently it was off the charts during Jesus' time too. We're like, oh, we're at an all-time high for that. Are we? If you're a human, you've had things to be worried and nervous and anxious about your whole life. I mean, we have a brand new grandson, Benjamin. They call him Benji. And he's so stinking cute. And I was holding him, and he got to this point where he really wanted to eat. And I can't help him. But he went after me like I could. And that doesn't make you watch what you eat. I don't know what will. But the truth is, he went at me, and he was just like, and he couldn't get what he needed. And so he started to get a little amped up. He started to scream. Yeah, I mean, what I'm saying is that it's in us to be afraid and to be anxious. And God's like, I know that, but don't be anxious. And then he doesn't just leave it at that. Why? Because I know what you need. So let's go to this. Jesus tells a story about this dude that has a bumper crop, literally. He has so much, and he's like, oh, I've got so much. You know what I need to do? I need to tear down my barns and build a bigger one, and then I can retire because I'm going to have so much. And he had this idea that he needed so much, and he had what's called a scarcity mindset, that he had to hang on to all that he had. And God says this to him in verse 20 of Luke 12. But God said to him, fool, this night your soul is required of you. And the things you have prepared, whose will they be? Remember, can somebody tell me what the saying is about what you can't do? You can't take it with you. I know you haul behind a hearse, right? So is the one, Jesus says, who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. And he said to his disciples, therefore, remember the therefore is there for a reason. It was there because he just said, look, you can't take it with you. Be rich towards God. Therefore, I tell you, don't be anxious about your life, what you'll eat, nor about your body, what you'll put on. For life is more than food, and the body more than clothing. Consider the ravens. They neither sow nor reap. They have neither storehouse nor barn, and yet God feeds them. Of how much more value are you than birds? I'm going to say this right now. Though Jesus died and rose from the dead and comes back to restore everything, he didn't die for birds. He died for us, as us. And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? We know because of modern medicine that anxiety kills you, actually. It doesn't give you more life. If then you're not able to do as small a thing as that, why are you anxious about the rest? Consider the lilies, how they grow. That neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. You know that Solomon actually had some clothes that had gold threaded into them. And yet he couldn't even compare to a flower. But if God so clothes the grass, which is alive in the field today and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, O you of little faith? And do not seek what you are to eat and what you are to drink, nor be worried. For all the nations of the world seek after these things, and your Father knows that you need them. Instead, seek his kingdom, and these things will be added to you. I've heard it said about marriage that it doesn't make you happy, but by God's grace, it can make you holy. And he says if you're aiming for holy, happy gets thrown in. Aim for God's kingdom and all this other stuff gets thrown in. Fear not, little flock. For it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions, give to the needy, provide yourselves with money bags that do not grow old, with a treasure in the heavens that does not fail, where no thief approaches, no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Listen up, fam. I think we just learned some really cool things right there, and I'll unpack it a little bit. But the two things that stood out to me this week as I was reading through it and chewing on it and trying to figure out how, because I was like, gosh, I could just go straight after some financial thing. Or I could talk about treasure and fear. And so we just have been told about a treasure hunt and a fear swap. Let me unpack it for you by bringing you to this verse. Fear not, little flock, Luke 12:32. For it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. The kingdom, his kingdom come, his will be done, as Jesus taught us to pray, right? Listen to this. His kingdom, provision, and promises. Do you remember the paralytic that was brought down? I've talked about this now multiple weeks in a row, and it just doesn't go away. So God's truth is recyclable. If you need to take a nap and you've bored with this story, now's a good time to take a little nap. But Jesus has these men drop this man before him who's paralyzed, and it should be pretty obvious what he's there for. And Jesus is like, yeah, it's so obvious. Your sins are forgiven. The kingdom. First things first, what can't be taken from you. Look, let me forgive you because you're going to die of something someday. You might not be able to walk, but you can be freed and you can sprint and run with the Lord. But I love miracles. I believe in them. I believe in deliverance. I believe that God sets captives free here, now, and later. But first things first, Jesus is like, you're forgiven. Let me set you free from the thing that will separate you from me forever. Remember, what did he tell the man that had the bumper crop? Not, gosh, dude, you got so much, you should start a church. Oh my goodness, you've got so much, you're totally blessed by me. No, man, be rich towards God. This is what Jesus is saying. Treasure hunt, treasure him. Money bags that don't grow old. A treasure that cannot be taken. Moth can't destroy it. Rust can't destroy it. Nobody can take it from you. This is good. He wants good for us. So in an effort to give you a practical reason why you should trust him, I want to geek out for the rest of the time on how awesome Jesus is. Will you join me in Psalm 23? Some of you know this as a wonderful psalm to try to memorize and share with people when they're struggling. Can we actually look at it as a wonderful description of who God is? Written by a man who started out in a shepherding family, who ended up being a king, but he was a shepherd boy first. And so this is a Psalm of David, Psalm 23. I'm just going to throw a couple of things out here. Shepherds actually care for their sheep. You know why? Because they need it. The sheep need to be cared for, and God knows that. The Lord is my shepherd. This is relationship. I shall not want. This is supply. He makes me lie down in green pastures. This is rest. He leads me beside still waters. Oh, this is refreshment. He restores my soul. This is healing. He leads me in paths of righteousness. This is guidance. For his namesake, that's purpose. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, this is testing, I will fear no evil. That's protection. For you are with me. That's his faithfulness. Your rod and your staff, that's power and grace, by the way. But your rod and your staff, they comfort me. This is discipline. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. This is hope and shalom. You anoint my head with oil. This is consecration. He's setting us apart. It is a bit of protection as well. I'll tell you this really quick. The idea of oil on a sheep or even cattle, way back in that day before they had any other kind of ointment, they would put oil to keep the bugs out. God actually sets you apart on purpose, for a purpose. My cup overflows. This is abundance. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. This is blessing. Dr. Tony Evans preaches way better than this brother ever could, but he says that goodness and mercy are like sheepdogs. And they're chasing, getting you where you need to be. And I shall dwell in the house of the Lord. Brothers and sisters, this is security forever. And that's eternity. So he's a good shepherd? What do you think? Can anybody testify to how good of a shepherd Jesus is? Has he been for you, or is he just like, oh, I'm still waiting to see it? Because some of you, if we're just being honest, haven't felt it, haven't seen it. Anybody got a word on how good God is as a shepherd? Annette. How many years ago? 2016, God brought Annette through cancer. Hallelujah. Yeah, Ellie.
He always meets me where I'm at, no matter where I've been.
He always meets you where you're at, no matter where you've been. Hallelujah. Anybody else? Angie. You saved Noah more than once. We prayed right here in this very room. And now Noah's 6 months old today. Monica's a little bit older than 6 months old today. Happy birthday. Anybody else?
Brings peace when you least expect it.
Amen. Darcy says he brings peace when you least expect it. It ought not to surprise you that Jesus actually says in many of his I am statements these wonderful things about who he is and how powerful he is and how wonderful he is. And he calls himself a shepherd. Listen to this. We're going to go, and you can join me if you want. Thank you, by the way, Paige. We're going to go to John 10, and we'll go 10 through 15. More about him as a shepherd. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. I'm the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who does not own the sheep sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees, and the wolf snatches them and scatters them. I could try to unpack this for you a bunch, but let me just say this to you. Anybody other than Jesus is not the good shepherd. We can be as best as we possibly can in Jesus Christ, but he's the one that lays down his life for the sheep. Anything else that you fear, including man and failure and not having enough and all of that, is a hired hand and it will leave you hanging. Always. My daughter forgave me quite a few years back for not being perfect. She described to me some ways that I wasn't, but she said, in your imperfection, you kept pointing me back to Jesus by your failure and by your faithfulness. I don't want to be a hired hand in anybody's life, but the truth is, even if I physically lay down my life for you, only Jesus could save you, so you could testify like Ellie. He takes me where I'm at, no matter where I've been. And may I add to your testimony, because you've shared with me, and he doesn't leave you where he finds you. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father. And I laid down my life for the sheep. Second time that he testifies to laying down his life for his sheep. So I have a quick question for you, and I'm going to answer it because there's a little bit of time left. What have we learned or read about the Lord today? You have to only know what it is that God is telling you about himself and about fear and about not having enough and how he's going to take care of all of it. But I learned these two things. Father knows best. And he's the good shepherd. I'm going to try to be a good under shepherd for you, and I'm going to ask you frankly, straightforward, gently. All those things can coexist, grace and truth. Jesus is filled with both. Do you really believe this? Because you're going to get stretched. If you're not in a spot of being stretched right now, you will be. Do you believe that the Father knows best? Do you believe that he's the good shepherd? This week I called who could really only be considered a mother in the faith for me, Betsy Laster. Her daughter Christina is a dear friend. And her daughter Christina married one of my closest friends, John Merwin. Betsy Laster used to be the women's director at Cascade, and we worked together. She's one of the wisest people I've ever met. She's one of the most faithful people I've ever met. Her story is amazing. If you ever get a chance to meet her, I encourage you to do so. I asked her how she was doing. Very first words out of her mouth. My world is so changed now, Aaron. But God is so, so good to me. At a women's retreat many years ago, Betsy asked the ladies to close their eyes. And she said, ladies, I know that I, like you, long most for security. And I know, like you, I have a lot of things that make me afraid, but losing security, losing my children, losing my husband, just not having security is one of the greatest things that I'm most afraid of. And so she said, as your eyes are closed, close your eyes. And she said, now imagine your worst possible fear. Can you get your mind around it, she said? Can you grasp just how bad it is. Now play it out in your mind. And you know what I've noticed? Whether you're a woman or a man or a child, you don't usually have to be encouraged to play out your worst fears. You do it anyways. But she said, go for it. She said, are you there? Now here's two questions to ask in our fear. Is God still there? And is he enough? He's the good shepherd. He's creator God. He's Yahweh. Hey, what's your name? I exist. I am that I am. There's nobody greater than me. Isn't that sun that's beating through? I made it. The rain that's falling, I made it. The wind that blows, I made it. Betsy's two questions keep coming to my mind over and over again, and I want to ask you as a practical application of don't be afraid. Is God still there? And is he enough? Some of you, like John the Baptist, might have to say, I don't know. I mean, I thought I knew. But now I'm in prison. It's not looking so good. I've had a lot more downs than ups. My life isn't just okay, it's kind of bad. And I'm not sure. But you guys, he doesn't stop being there because we stop believing he is. And I thank him for that. He doesn't stop being enough because we wish we had more of whatever. It's all going to go away. Jesus is like, man, dial back into my kingdom. Seek first my kingdom, my righteousness. All these things will be added to you. But let's keep first things first. I love that. I have children that will either see me on my phone or watching a different kind of screen or just being like very intent on making sure that the dog doesn't like nip at somebody. I mean, just lots of things. And they'll be like, Dad. And they grab my face. I know they learned that somewhere because I've grabbed a number of ADHD people myself and go like, hey, dial it in. God is gracious and he's kind, friends. And he'll say, hey, come on. Let's go refocus. And so I want to bring you to 2 Timothy 1, 5 through 7. I love this. Timothy is talking to his son, or excuse me, Paul is talking to his son in the faith, Timothy. And he encourages him with saying, man, I know you've got faith. And then he says some other things, and we'll just read it really quick. I'm reminded, 2 Timothy 1, 5, of your sincere faith, a faith that dwelt first in your grandmother, Lois, and your mother, Eunice, and now I'm sure dwells in you as well. I've seen faith that was passed down. I know you've got it. For this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. Look, I've been there with you, man. I know what you've gone through, and I know that you've got these gifts. God, allow me to be a part of that. So you've got a faith that's been passed down, is sincere. You've been given gifts. Dear friend, in Jesus' name, if you are in him, you have been given gifts. For his glory, for the body's benefit, and for your edification to be built up. Don't hang on to them. Use them. So he reminds them. And then after all of that, he comes after a pretty significant reality. Timothy was afraid. For God gave us a spirit not of fear, but of power and love and self-control. Look, Timothy, I know that you're freaked out. You've got a faith that's been passed down. You witnessed it, and now I'm witnessing it in you. You've been given gifts. And I know you're afraid, but that's not what God gives to us. So in the words of Betsy Laster, fear does not come from God. So where does it come from? If we're going to go straight to the devil, then yeah, you're right there. But there's another source. Who is it? It's us. And God doesn't go, I can't even look at you right now. You got fear in you? Please. Gosh. He said, oh, you have little faith. And then he told it all the things you ought to be able to do. And then at the end of that big speech that Jesus gives him, he's like, fear not, little flock. Your daddy wants you in the business. He wants you in the kingdom. He wants you focused on the kingdom. Let's go refocus. Look, that's not sarcasm. That's not exasperation from God. That's invitation. That's reminder. And so what are some practical things that we can do? I've got a list that's going to sound like, oh, yeah, I know. Spiritual disciplines. If you don't like one that's listed here, find a different spiritual discipline. But friend, here's the crazy thing on being invited into the kingdom. You got to take him at his word and live like it. Prayer. Not just talking, but listening. Bible. Study it. Memorize it. Live it out. And then talk about or share. This is a fellowship thing. This is a testimony thing. Talk about or share how God has come through for you. It's so good to repeat God's goodness. My friend David sits here with us every week. He sent me a text and he's like, hey, there's this quote here and I'm going to paraphrase it, Dave, but do you believe that the gospel is just for proclamation out on the street corners and in evangelism, or do you think it's for the church too? Oh, man, the gospel is for me every day. And then the implications of the gospel are for me and you every day. And we've been set free. There is nothing that can take us out of the hand of the good shepherd. He laid down his life for us. That gives us life more abundantly. This is good news. And I need it every day. I need to be reminded, not because I don't have 66 books worth of great stuff and discipleship. I love that some people are better at catching fish than cleaning them. If you don't know what that means, then there's some that are better at evangelism than discipleship, but we're all this part of the body of Christ, and I want to see it all happen, and I want more and more of what God has for us. But dear friends, we have got to stop focusing on the fears that are smaller than God. Which, if we're paying attention, that would be every fear. That doesn't mean we don't have them. Look, Pastor John said, look, Aaron, I know that you're afraid of heights. And so if you get to the edge of a cliff, your fear of Jesus isn't going to keep you from falling off. That fear that God has given you of heights can actually save your life. I mean, let's get practical. Somebody died, two somebodies on Highway 2, depends on whatever story you're listening to. That was a terrible day for them. I hope they knew Jesus. I prayed for all of that. Fear of driving down the wrong side of the road actually keeps me on the right side of the road. There are some fears that have been given to us that are good. I'm saying put them in their proper perspective. Focus on Jesus. Just because you love and know Jesus doesn't mean you aren't afraid of other things. I'm saying, like him, Jesus says, put your focus here. Ryan can hang out with us. That's fine. Oh, smart. Somebody's got to get him something to drink. That's. You guys, he says don't be anxious. You know that it's don't be afraid is 360 whatever times. I mean, this is repeated over and over again because we need to hear it. I'm not shaming you. I'm in the same boat as you. I need to change my focus and where my fear is at. I asked you guys to pray last week. All I can tell you is that very immediately things started to change in my family when I asked you guys to pray. There was massive division in my family. And by Sunday night, it had really begun to be reconciled. By Monday morning, I found out as this testimony that very, very clearly God was saying to my family members, this is not my best for you. And you guys, even since then, my extended family has had some significant loss. And we're not by ourselves. There's a lot of things. There's real stuff out there. And so I don't want to get people away from the desperate need for us to focus on the Lord by just diminishing. So, oh, no, just trust Jesus. I do believe that. Do trust Jesus. Walk through it. Go to those two questions from Betsy. If the worst possible stuff happens, is God still there and is he enough? If you can say yes, you get to walk this out and know that he's going to take what you are most afraid of and use it to fix your eyes on the fear of the Lord. And he flips the script. That's one of the things I'm most thankful for, is that the worst things can actually end up being some of the best things because of how awesome our shepherd is. So in the very, very short amount of time that we have left, I want to give us a chance to thank God together. When I say don't be afraid, I'm not trying to say to you, click your heels three times, play with a lucky rabbit's foot, find your pennies and rub them together. No. I'm saying be honest with it. Bring it to the one that can change everything and watch him. Watch him do it. Testify of it. Memorize his word. Share his word. Pray. So right now, things you're thankful for, please go for it. I'll repeat it a little bit. We got like three opportunities, and then I'll pray, and then we'll go. So go ahead.
Family.
Amen. God, we're thankful for family.
Food on the table.
Say it again.
Food on the table.
Lord, we're thankful for food on the table. Lord, we're thankful for fellowship. Go ahead. Keep going, you guys. Salvation. Say that again, the safety. What was it?
Never leaving us nor
forsaking us. God, we're so thankful. God, your faithfulness. Thank you.
Thank you for your patience.
Yes, Lord, thank you for your patience. Say it again.
Thank you for your patience.
Hmm. Oh, Lord. God, you are so patient. Thank you, Father. Father, thank you for giving us strength when we need it most. Father, all these things and so many more are going on in our lives. I thank you for salvation. I thank you for sanctification. I thank you for being the good shepherd. I thank you, Lord, that you didn't give us a spirit of fear, but of love and power and self-control. God, may we exercise these gifts that you've given us. God, thank you so much for reminding me over and over again this week because I needed it, and even when I didn't think I needed it, you just were strengthening me and fortifying me. I'm so grateful for that. I thank you that you did that with my bride. I thank you that you did that with my kids. I thank you that I got to see you in people that I'd never even met before yesterday. I thank you, Lord, for coming alongside of us, not only with this team of people that did all of these boxes and all the prep and all the cleanup and all that, but I got to look out the back window just randomly and see a gender reveal party and people celebrating life. God, you're so good. You don't stop. Thank you for that. I pray for our eyes and our ears and our hearts and our minds and our whole entire lives to be open to more and more of you and less of us. And we'll trust you to do all that you say you'll do because you never, ever lie. God, you're awesome. I thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen.